It is truly good to be here. It's good to see you. We have such a good number. I think this is the most we have had in attendance since all of this hullabaloo started a year or so ago. And it's wonderful to see each of you here. We have some that have not been able to be with us, but you've had your vaccinations and feel safe coming. And we're glad that you feel that way and glad you're able to be with us. And thank you for those who have joined us online. We appreciate your being with us as well. I'd like for us this morning to talk about give no offense. And there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32 where Paul says, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Now, we hear a lot today in our society about not offending people. And every time you turn around, somebody wants you to do something or not do something so that you don't offend somebody. I saw just this last week, and I think this one sort of is the epitome of all of the stupidity that I've seen in the news recently and all that's going on in life around us. But they have changed Mr. Potato Head to be non-gender. Aunt Jemima was bad enough. She, that poor lady, worked her heart out, and it really was a lady who was named that and was named in honor of her. And I think it was a total shame they changed that, but to change Mr. Potato Head, I believe, is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But anyway, they did. And the reason they did it is because they were afraid that putting Mr. in front of it might offend somebody. And so we hear so much today about let's don't offend anybody. So what does it mean when the Bible says give no offense? Well, I can tell you what a lot of people think. What a lot of people say is that we should never state our disagreement with another's opinion or their belief, especially if it's them. And it's okay for them to disagree with me. It's okay for them to think something other than what I think. But I should never express my opinion if I disagree with this certain group of people because it might truly offend them. And the absurdity of this is that it offends a Muslim for one to be a Christian, but we are not supposed to be offended as Christians for somebody being a Muslim. And that's ridiculous. But the fact is, that's the way it is in our society. Some say we should never do anything that might hurt another's sensibilities or in any way make them uncomfortable. And so if we do something that in some way makes somebody feel a little bit uncomfortable about something in their life, then what we have done is we have offended them, and that is the worst thing that you can possibly do in our society. But the fact is, when you look at the Bible and you say, is this what he's talking about? The answer is absolutely no. Paul is not talking about this kind of thing when he talks about give no offense. But what is he talking about when he says give no offense? What Paul is talking about is we should not do anything that will cause another person to sin or cause them to violate their conscience. And there are things that we can do that would encourage somebody to do something that is wrong, and we'll look at some of that in our lesson today. There are things we could do that would maybe in some way cause somebody to do something that does violate their conscience. And when we talk about giving offense, it means that we're not going to do something that would encourage someone to do that which they believe to be wrong. Whether it's right or wrong, whether I think it's right or wrong, is totally beside the point. It is something that I should never do, would be to cause somebody to do something that they believe to be wrong. In Romans 14, and let me just tell you right up front, we're going to read several passages that are somewhat lengthy, and the reason I'm doing that is because it is the only way to really understand this subject is to get the whole context of what's written in each passage. Beginning verse 13 of chapter 14 of Romans, he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Some translations say here, not to offend a brother. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Paul says there are a lot of people that think things are wrong to eat or things that are wrong to do. I know better, but the fact is to them, they conscientiously believe exactly what they say they believe. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Let me just stop right here and say we're going to talk about eating different kinds of food in two different senses in our lesson today. In Romans 14, Paul is talking about the fact that there were some people who believed that God wanted us to be vegetarians, and if we eat meat of any kind, it's sin. And there were a lot of people that believed that. There are some people today that believe that. And the fact is, Paul is talking about somebody who thinks you ought to be a vegetarian. And he says, do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things are clean, but they're evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is not good to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Paul is saying here, I know it's okay for me to eat a steak if I want to, but if it's going to cause somebody to sin, I'm not going to eat that steak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning there in verse 7, and here he's talking about eating meat that has been sacrificed to an idol. It has nothing to do with being a vegetarian or not being a vegetarian in 1 Corinthians. It has to do with the fact that there was meat that was offered to idols. And in their practice, what they did was, and this was true even under the Jewish law, is many of the sacrifices that were offered up, they would offer up this animal sacrifice, and it might be a beef or it might be a lamb of some kind. And they would cook it for a period of time, and then they would take part of it off, and the priest could eat it under the Old Testament law. Under the Gentile customs, they would offer up sacrifices to their idols, and then they would take the meat before it was burned, they would take it while it was cooked, and then they would sell it in the meat market. Or they would serve it in their restaurants. And they would eat this meat, and so for them, this posed a problem. If you're eating meat that is offered to an idol, are you worshiping the idol? Or are you just eating a piece of meat? Well, the answer to those two questions is yes. For some people, when they ate this meat, they were actually worshiping an idol. For some people, when they ate this meat, they were just eating a piece of meat. And it had nothing to do with the idol, even though it had been offered up to the idol. And so, given that context, let's look at what Paul says. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And so here's a guy who has become a Christian. He hasn't been a Christian very long. He came out of idolatry. And every time he ate meat that was offered to an idol, he considered himself worshiping this idol. And now he has become a Christian. And he goes and there's meat there. And is he going to eat this meat or not eat this meat? Well, he says if he eats it and he feels like he's worshiping an idol, then he's doing wrong. And he said, I don't want to encourage him to do that if he thinks it's wrong. But then he says, but food will not commend us to God. We're neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care lest this liberty of yours, that is the freedom to eat or not eat, somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? When I read this passage, I thought about when we lived in Jacksonville, Florida. There was this place that I heard a lot of people talk about, and they said they've got the best sandwiches of any place in Jacksonville. And I mean, they were known for their sandwiches. They had all different kinds, and they were supposed to be the best that you could get anywhere in the Jacksonville area. The problem is, it was a bar. And it was right down the street from where I worked. And most of the guys that I worked with would go there after work and hang out. And as far as they were concerned, it didn't matter whether they served sandwiches or not. They went there to imbibe in the drinks. And so I never went to that place and got a sandwich. And the reason I didn't was not because I felt like it would have been wrong in itself for me to go in there and to get a sandwich, but because it would have encouraged them to think that I would drink along with them drinking. It was a matter of freedom for me, but it was a choice that I made. And I think that we need to, and I don't say that to say that if somebody went in there, they were doing wrong. In fact, most of the people told me it was a good sandwich place for people I went to church with. So there's a lot of people did go in there just for the sandwiches. But I made the choice not to go. And I think that this is something we need to see as we look at this lesson. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined for the brother's sake who Christ died. And thus by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again that I might not cause my brother to stumble. And then going to 1 Corinthians 10, beginning of verse 23, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions. For conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Paul says if you go to the meat market and you buy some meat, don't ask them whether it's offered to an idol or not. Don't worry about it. Just buy it and eat it and enjoy it and give thanks to God for it. But if one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat anything that's set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. So your next door neighbor calls you one day and he says, hey, I want you to come over and eat with me. And he says, okay. And so you go and you sit down and you eat. And he says, just eat whatever's there. Don't ask any questions. On the other hand, if someone invites you and you go to eat and he says to you, this meat is sacrificed to idols. Do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake, and I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's, for why is my freedom judged by another man's conscience? In other words, you don't do something that you know is going to cause that brother to feel like that you are condoning his idolatry, if that's what he's doing. If that man feels like he is worshiping an idol and he tells you that that's what he's doing, you don't participate with him in that. He says, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think this is the one thing that we need to keep in mind is whatever we do or don't do, we need to do it to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to Jews or to Greeks or the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. I think as we look at this subject, we need to understand that we should follow the example of Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, be imitators of me. He qualifies that in 1 Corinthians 1:11. He says, be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. And so we're following Paul, but we're following Paul because he's following Christ. And so we're to do what Jesus would have us to do. As we look at the life of Paul, he was willing to give up his personal liberties, that is, his rights, for the good of others. Today we hear a lot about our rights, and people want to exercise their rights. And every time I think about that, I remember when I was very young and I was learning to drive, and I came to an intersection one time, and there was a car coming. He had a stop sign, and I didn't. And Daddy told me to slow down. I said, well, I've got the right of way. He said, yeah, you may be right and dead at the same time. You see, sometimes we have to give up our rights. And if a guy's going to run a red light and I've got enough sense to watch him and I see he's going to run the red light, I'm going to stop on a green light. I don't have to, but I will. You see, we need to understand that we don't always exercise every liberty or every right that we have. We look out with common sense what is good for us as well as other people. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 13, Paul said, "If food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, that I might not cause my brother to stumble." If I can just give up one thing that will help somebody go to heaven, is it not worth that? That's what Paul is saying. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 19, he says, "Though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." Paul says, I act like I'm a Jew when I'm around a bunch of Jews. He's not being a hypocrite. He's just understanding their conscience, and he's doing all he can to help them appreciate what he believes and understands and to be able to receive the teaching that he's giving to them. But to those who are Gentiles, he says, to those who are without law, as without law. Though not being the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. And so when Paul met with a bunch of Gentiles, he didn't try to cram the law of Moses down their throat. He didn't tell them they had to observe all these Jewish traditions. But he simply talked to them about Jesus Christ and how to find salvation in Him. And so he says in verse 22, "To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all men save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I might become a fellow partaker of it." So Paul was willing to give up his personal liberties, his rights, for the good of others. And Paul followed the example of Christ. You remember Jesus gave up his liberties. He gave up his rights so that we might have salvation. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "There have nothing or do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others." Now, if we do that, we're going to give up a lot of our rights from time to time. We're going to let other people have their way when we don't get ours. But that's what Paul is saying. And he says the reason that you do that is because Jesus did. The very next verse, verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, since he humbled himself, therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As we look at this, I think there's a question that probably some of you are already thinking, and it certainly comes to my mind, and that is, does this mean then that we should always give in to others, to their thinking, their opinions, to their beliefs? Well, again, I think the Bible's very plain on this. I think absolutely not. That is not what the Bible is teaching. However, it does teach that we may choose at times for specific reasons to do just that, to give in to them and to their thinking and to their beliefs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 3, I want you to notice here, Paul was being accused of some things, and he didn't just say, "Okay, whatever you say, that's fine." He didn't just say, "Okay, whatever you want to do, that's fine." But rather he makes his defense against brethren who were making accusations against him. He says, my defense to those who examine me is this, do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Paul here very adamantly says, I have the right to do these things because I am a Christian and then God's approving it and therefore I can do it. And there are times that we need, and Paul did, assert his rights and defended his rights, and he used his rights to the glory of God. However, even though he makes this defense, if you drop down to verse 15 of this same chapter in this same context, Paul has made his defense and then he says, but I have used none of these, talking about his rights. I'm not writing these things that it may be done in my case, for it'd be better for me to die than have any man boast, make my boast an empty one. Paul is making his defense of being able to do these things so that others could take advantage of their rights, even though he personally chose for his own personal reasons to not take advantage of his rights. And so much of this whole subject has to do with our attitude. It has to do with our disposition toward others and our love for our fellow man. But when someone is teaching something as a requirement for salvation that's false, we need to stand for and we need to defend the truth. But at the same time, I think we need to understand that we don't have to always prove our thinking is right. And I'll give you an example of that. There were Jewish Christians in the early church who taught very adamantly that Gentiles became a Christian, they had to be circumcised as the Jews had to be circumcised in order to be acceptable to God. Titus was a Gentile. Some of these men that taught this said to Titus, you have to be circumcised. Paul said, absolutely not, and he's not going to be. And Paul defended his right to refrain from circumcision because it was a Jewish right. It had nothing to do with being a Christian. However, with Timothy, whose father was a Gentile and his mother was a Jew, Paul felt that Timothy would be better able to reach the Jewish Christians, being part Jew, if he were circumcised as a Jew. And so he had Timothy circumcised. So if you ask Paul, is circumcision necessary? His answer would have been yes and no. Yes for Timothy, no for Titus. You see, both of them had liberty, but Paul thinks, or his thinking was, that it would reach Christians, it would reach those that are lost better if Timothy is, but at the same time it will defend the clarity of the gospel if Titus refuses to be. And so it takes good judgment to know when and how to do it. There were those early Christians who were Jews who said that when a person became a Gentile, that they had to keep the Jewish holy days and observe all of these religious holidays as the Jews observed them. And the fact is, if you read the book of Galatians, Paul very strongly criticizes these Jewish Christians who are trying to Judaize the Gentile Christians. And he says that if you're going to do that and you're going to go back under the law of Moses, then you have rejected from Christ, you've fallen from grace. He says that's not the way to do it. He said all these religious holidays were nailed to the cross. They're not a requirement to be done. But Paul, in writing to the Romans, says that if a man believes that he ought to observe this religious holiday, then let him do it. Because that's between him and God. If a man believes he ought to be circumcised, then let him do it. Because that's between him and God. And so the difference was whether or not somebody was trying to bind it on somebody or they were just simply practicing it for themselves. And again, we need to be careful in passing judgment on others and their behavior and the things that they do or don't do. I'm reminded of when I was a very young child. One of my younger siblings came in one day, and one of his Bible teachers had told him, it was in December, and one of his Bible teachers had told him that it was wrong to have a Christmas tree and that if they had one, they were going to be lost. And my sibling was quite upset and told my daddy what this teacher had said. And he said, "Don't worry about it, son." He said, "If she doesn't want to have one, she doesn't have to have one, and that's fine. But we'll have one at our house." You see, we need to be careful in passing judgment on others and making condemnation just because we don't agree with somebody in our understanding. So what do we do? Our goal should be the same as that of Paul, and that is to lead others to Christ. And if it means giving up some liberty that I have, giving up some of my rights to be able to reach somebody with the gospel, and it may be something simple. I've told you, I know on multiple occasions about a guy one time that I was trying to teach and trying to reach him with the gospel, and he said, "I want to ask you a question, Robert." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Is it wrong to go fishing on Sunday?" Well, I happened to know that he believed it was wrong to go fishing on Sunday. And so I told him, I said, "Well, if you think it's wrong, then it would be wrong." He said, "Okay." And he later became a Christian, and hopefully he began to understand some of the principles behind that. But the fact is, we need to be willing to give up. And I promise you, I wasn't a fisherman at the time, but even if I had been, if it meant reaching him with the gospel, I would have not gone fishing on a Sunday. And I certainly wouldn't have called him and asked him to go with me. You see, sometimes we just give up our rights, we give up our liberties in order to reach somebody with the gospel or to build somebody up in Christ. Maybe a weak brother, somebody that's not been a Christian very long, or a sister or whatever the case may be, and that person has not been serving Christ very long. And so we need to be careful the things we do and the things we say, that we not tear them down, but rather that we build them up, and that should be our goal. We should never tear down or get in the way of anybody coming to Christ or living for Him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "Take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." In chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33 he says, "Give no offense, either to Jews or Greeks or the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." And in Romans 14, verse 19 and 20, he says, "Let us pursue the things which make for peace in the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they're evil for the man who eats and gives offense." And then in chapter 15, in verse 1, he says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, as is written, 'Reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me.'" Our goal is to lead others to Christ, to build up those who are in Christ, to never tear down or get in the way of others coming to Christ or living for Him. And so in doing this, we follow the example of Paul as he followed the example of Jesus Christ. This morning the question is, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? If you're not, then you need to come to Jesus. And we're praying that you will come to Him and give Him your life, and as you turn away from sin and confess Him as the Son of God, as the Lord, as your risen Savior. And upon that confession of faith, be buried in baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you His Spirit to live in you. And you'll be a part of the body of Christ. If you're here and you're subject to his invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.